Our next item is subdivision 2005-78, Delmarva Woodlands Alliance LLC.
This is an application to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district and a GR general residential district in Indian River 100, Sussex County, dividing 215.23 acres into 226 lots, utilizing the cluster development concept, and located north and south of Road 280, 2,900 feet east of Road 292. This application has been reviewed by the Technical Advisory Committee, and I would ask Mr. Abbott if he has any additional comments to date.
Mr. Chairman, the TAC report of May 24th of this year will be made a part of the record. Each of you has received an exhibit booklet, a revised plan, and a letter addressing the items that are referenced in Section 99-9C of the subdivision code. They were all received on the 27th. They'll all be made a part of the record. And today we received a fax letter from the Citizens Coalition. I made copies of that. I'll pass that down. It's a long two-page letter, and that'll be made a part of the record. That's all I had, unless you have any questions.
All right, sir, thank you. For anyone here representing the subdivision?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Well, for the record, my name is Jim Fuqua. I'm an attorney here in Georgetown, and I am representing the applicant, Delmarva Woodlands Alliance, LLC. With me is Merritt Burke, from representative of the applicant, and Mark Chura, who should be walking in about 3 or 4 minutes. I think we're moving a little faster than we anticipated this evening. Also, Doug Warner from Element Design Group, which is the engineers and the site designer of the proposed subdivision. As Mr. Abbott stated, there was an exhibit book submitted for Cool Springs Meadow, which I'll be referring to in my presentation. This is an application for a 226 single-family lot subdivision to be known as Cool Spring Meadows. The site is located on both sides, the north and south sides of Stokely Road. The map here, if I can refer to that, probably shows it better. It's located on both sides of Stokely Road. The larger piece is on the north side. That piece also borders on Forest Road over here, and also on Cool Springs Road right here. The property is located about 1,500 feet northeast of Route 5, which is Indian Mission Road, and that's near Anderson Corner. The total site itself contains 215 acres of land. The majority of the land is zoned AR1 agricultural residential, and that's about 193 acres. The remainder of the site, which is about 21 acres, is zoned GR general residential. And the general residential is located along Forest Road, and it's a 400-foot deep strip, which I suspect was created at the time that the zoning ordinance was created. So the GR lands, basically a strip located along here. Under the zoning ordinance, the AR zoning district states that low-density single-family residential use is a permitted use in the AR district. The GR zoning district states that medium-density single-family residential use is a permitted use in the GR district. And the zoning ordinance also establishes the permitted density in those districts. The maximum density permitted by the current zoning on the land would be 2 lots per acre, of course, on the AR land, and 4 lots per acre on the GR land. And that maximum density would be a total of 473 single-family lots under the existing zoning. The proposed Cool Spring Meadows subdivision is 226 single-family lots on the 215-acre site. And that's a density of just slightly more than one lot per acre. That density is substantially less than the density already permitted by zoning, and is also substantially less than the density allowed in the low density cluster section under the low density. Under the cluster ordinance, which, as you recall, was an amendment to the cluster ordinance for the low density area, creating a density of 1.5 lots per acre. Now, this application was actually filed before that amendment, so it's not subject to that ordinance. But obviously, the density being proposed of about one per acre complies with that ordinance, and as I said, is significantly less than that ordinance permits. The design of the subdivision, and by utilizing the AR cluster ordinance, it obviously permits us to use the cluster lot sizes. As you know, the minimum lot size permitted under the cluster ordinance is 7,500 square feet. None of the lots in the Cool Spring Meadows development is that minimum size. The smallest lot in the proposed subdivision is 9,925 square feet. The average lot size is 10,867 square feet. The use of the cluster lot sizes and the relatively low density that's being proposed created the ability to design this development and permit residential development, yet at the same time preserve extensive areas of open space. And in fact, the open space on the site plan, which is comprised of active and passive recreational use, conservation areas, and the on-site utility areas, comprises about 145 acres of the 215-acre parcel. And that is approximately 67% of the site. So 67% of the Cool Spring Meadows subdivision will be in some form of open space, which is, again, a very significant percentage of open space in a development. Physically, the site is actually made up of two parcels of land. The northern part of the northern parcel contains 115 acres. It was previously owned by Gladfelter Pulpwood Company. It is wooded. About 35 acres was cut and now is in secondary growth. The rest of it is basically in pine trees and considerable overgrowth in the pine trees. The southern portion of the parcel contains about 100 acres. It's mostly cleared farmland. There is a section of woodlands that is located within that 100 acres. And as I mentioned, it is located on both sides of Stokely Road. There is a Delmarva Power utility easement on the extreme western edge of the Gladfelter portion of the property. It does not affect the development or interfere with any development, and it's located right over in this area right here. There's also about 22 acres of federal non-tidal wetlands located on the site. Again, the wetlands are not impacted by the proposed development. No wetlands will be located within any lot lines. And in fact, the plan that was submitted shows a 50-foot buffer surrounding all of the wetland areas. But the actual distance from the wetland areas to lot lines is much greater than the designated 50-foot buffer. And again, just for the record, I'll note that there is no requirement for any buffer from 404 wetlands, and a considerable buffer is being provided here. Altogether on the site, there's approximately 141 acres that are in some degree wooded at this point in time. As I said, about 53 acres were cut over and are in secondary growth. The development is designed so that a majority of the lots, and I'd say approximately two-thirds of the lots, are located in the cleared areas of the site, the areas that have already been cleared for farming. The remaining lots are in the wooded area, but it is the intention to preserve mature trees in that area and basically restrictions will be created that will control tree removal, with the exception, of course, of areas removed for roads and home sites. There was a number of studies done in preparation of the site plan. The site was investigated for wetlands, and a wetland delineation was completed. The wetlands were identified, and as I already stated, they are not interfered with, they're not impacted, a buffer is provided, and no wetlands are within lot lines or anywhere near lot lines. There was a traffic impact study done by Orth Rogers traffic engineers. Certain entrance and roadway improvements were recommended by the Orth Rogers study. That study and recommendation was reviewed by McCormick and Taylor, and they're basically an engineering firm that was hired by DelDOT to review traffic impact studies, or some of the traffic impact studies. They concurred in the Orth Rogers study, and the developer will be responsible for those improvements, and a copy of that letter is in the exhibit book, which details what those improvements would be. In addition, a phase one environmental audit was done of the site by Jim McCauley of Environmental Consultants, Inc. There were no potential environmental liabilities present on the site, and there were no threatened or endangered species noted on the property. Water for the development for both domestic use and fire protection will be provided by Tidewater Utility Company, which, as you know, is a public utility company regulated by the Public Service Commission of Delaware. Sewer will be handled by a central on-site wastewater treatment system with spray disposal that also will be operated by Tidewater Utility, or another company owned by Tidewater Utility. Soil studies were performed. Those soil studies were reviewed by DENREC, and the groundwater discharge section of DENREC issued a preliminary suitability letter for the on-site system. Again, in the exhibit book, there is ability to serve letters from Tidewater Utilities, both to the water and the sewer. There's a summary of the soils investigation report, and there's a copy of the DENREC feasibility letter regarding the wastewater system. Other utilities on the site, electric will be provided by Delaware Electric Cooperative, telephone by Verizon, a cable TV by Comcast. The site is located within the Milton Volunteer Fire Department service area, although from the maps, it's right on the border of about three or four different volunteer fire companies, but it's in the Milton area. And it's also in the Cape Henlopen School District. And at this point, what I'd like to do is turn the presentation over to Doug Warner of Element Design to review the site plan with you.
Yes, Doug Warner with Element Design Group, civil structural engineer, lead up the department there, licensed in the state of Delaware. Element is the planner and engineer of record for this site. Much of the stuff that I'll go over real quickly is somewhat Jim has covered, but I just want to walk you through the site plan just a little bit. We do have access from three access points into the site, two from Stokely Road to the southern portion of Stokely. We have 54 lots, kind of in an oval configuration here, some stormwater management. On the southern portion, we have Chapel Branch, some forested area, and some wetlands in that location. Northern portion of Stokely, we kind of get into a winding type of scenario here, what we internally called a little bit of a crop circle type look here. We have some large portion of wetlands on the northern portion of the site. We have a pocket of wetlands here on the western portion and another pocket here. As Jim indicated, minimum buffers that we have on there are 50 foot, many of those well in excess of 100 feet that we've tried to maintain there. We have 40 foot minimum buffers along all the frontages. In one case, it's 40 foot right around here on the property line, and we're in excess of typically 50 to 60 feet along the frontages. The road network that we're looking at here is right now is designed as a swale configuration, sidewalk on one side. We may look at that a little bit more when we get into some grading if it were to be approved and migrate to a curb and gutter if that has a little less impact on the grading for us. We have open space. What we've tried to capture is a lot of open space, even for some of these kind of quirky type lots in this roundabout here. Try to give everybody access to some open space and not backing their home sites up to anyone else. We do have a proposed area for some recreation here, a tot lot, some playground area, kind of a universal type court with some basketball and tennis type thing to be situated here on the western portion of the site. We have several other pockets of areas that we're kind of leaving open there for future, as builders may get in here and want to opt into a few more amenities. We're leaving some of those areas open throughout the site. We also have a conceptual plan here for a bus stop that would be located on Stokely, one side or the other. In addition, maybe on Cool Springs, something we'd have to work out with the school districts a little bit, a shelter and maybe a pull-off area there for buses and cars. Again, three entrances, Del Dot improvements, you know, the entrances will go through the Del Dot entrance approval process. The TIS indicated that yes, some upgrades along the frontages here of the road, some repaving, some lane widenings up to their typical 11-foot wide standards is recommended. And as engineering and developer, we'll be doing that type of work. In the northern portion, this is where we have our wastewater treatment plant, and about 40 acres of this site is allocated for the disposal area, the spray irrigation area. Stormwater management. We've got several different pockets indicated here. On the south side, we have a pond indicated here. We have not done, we've done some preliminary soils. We may look at infiltration. We may look at a wet pond. It's gonna just kind of funnel out as we get into the final engineering. We've left some other areas in here and actually throughout the site for some other BMPs for quality management. We may be able to take the runoff off the back of these lots, get some quality management for our 2 and 10 year storms, and then have containment in here before discharging into Chapel Branch here. On the northern site, same type of philosophy. Our ultimate discharge point that we're looking at right now will probably be into the wetland area. We have not scheduled a meeting with SCD yet, but we will do that. We've had some dialogue actually with some of the folks that live around this area, and there are some drainage concerns, particularly on the western portion of the site and going down Cool Springs Road. We've visited the site. There absolutely is some drainage concerns there. We'll meet with those people to try to understand the site a little bit more detail as well.
Thank you.
I'll just add that the what's being proposed, it's sidewalks on one side of the street. There will be street lights within the development. Doug mentioned proposed locations of a school bus stop, and that would be subject to review and approval by the school district. I also mentioned to you that the wooded area would be restrictions, a place to preserve as much of the mature woods as could be preserved in that area. I will mention that this was originally Gladfelter property, so the original intention of this land was going to all be cut down. So actually there will be woods preserved here as opposed to what would have occurred. The recreation facilities, again, as Doug said, what's being proposed is a basketball court and tot lots. The main area, and they would be in this area here. This area would be the a rec area, which is undetermined at this point whether it would be some type of a field, a playing field with some type of a gathering place, or something more permanent in the sense of a swimming pool or something of that nature. It just hasn't been determined yet. Overall, the Cool Spring Manor proposal, we believe, is in compliance with the AR cluster ordinance. As I mentioned, the open space is 67%, which greatly exceeds the open space required by the ordinance. The 226 proposed lots is 47% of the number of lots which are actually permitted by the existing zoning without any change of zone. And again, as I said, it's about one lot per acre, which I think under anyone's calculations is low density. The homes, of course, will be limited to single-family detached dwellings. There'll be no manufactured homes located on any of these lots. And in fact, there are no lots, as I mentioned before, where the GR land is. No lots are located in the GR-zoned area. Buffers are provided from the wetlands. Buffers are provided from all the roadways. All lots, of course, will have internal access to the streets. and no wetlands within lot lines or anywhere near the lot lines. Central water and wastewater are provided, be operated by a approved public utility company. An HOA will be created, which will be responsible for enforcement of the restrictions and management of the open space. The site has been designed to preserve the natural environment and to maintain large areas of open space. We believe we've addressed the Section 99.9C considerations. We have submitted a written comment summarizing what we believe addresses those issues, and it's actually the last five pages of the exhibit book that was submitted to you. We also believe that the total environment and design of the subdivision is vastly superior to a standard design option. It is low density, central water and sewer. The design has taken into effect environmental considerations, the protection of the wetlands, and basically the minimal impact on the wooded area. Extensive open space has been done. And basically there is somewhat of a unique design feature in that for all practical purposes, every single lot that's created actually backs up to open space, as far as I know, that's the first application that's been able to do that. I just want to mention two other things. I do have proposed conditions and findings, which I'll submit to Mr. Lank and ask that he hand these out. I do want to mention or address the letter that was received from the Citizens Coalition. It's a letter in opposition to this application, and I'm certainly very familiar, as you are, with the Citizens Coalition. I respect the Citizens Coalition's opinion, and I respect the Citizens Coalition's right to express its opinion. However, its opinion is not the practical or legal standard which is established for your review of a subdivision. And I think the coalition's opinion is pretty much summed up in the first sentence of paragraph 5 of its letter. And what that states on paragraph 5 is, quote, "This development simply does not belong in this rural area, which is identified in the Sussex County Comp Plan as a low-density area." Now, again, that is the opinion of the coalition, and it's my opinion that that's an opinion that's contrary to the Sussex County Comp Plan and zoning ordinance. The coalition's opinion should be, and I'm sure it will be, presented to you at public hearings that will be held on the update and review of the comp plan, which will be coming up soon. And ultimately, that will be a policy that will be debated and discussed, and the county council will decide what our future policy is. However, this application before you tonight for Cool Springs Meadows isn't a future application. It's a current application, and it is to be reviewed and considered under the current standards. And I know you're very familiar with what those standards are, but for the record, I just want to state quickly that the comp plan states that the purpose of the low-density area is indeed to provide for full range of agricultural activities, but it also states that low-density single-family residential housing is also appropriate if it complies with the county regulations. And the comp plan recognizes that low density is 2 lots per acre in the AR zone, and it specifically states that housing types are limited to single family detached homes, all of which requirements this application complies with. Also, as you know, under the zoning ordinance, both the AR and GR zoning districts provide that both one of the purposes of those districts, as well as the permitted use in those districts, is single-family residential use. And lastly, the Sussex County Council enacted the AR cluster ordinance a couple of years ago, and as you'll recall, fairly recently, that ordinance was amended to provide that in the low-density area, density would be reduced to 1.5 lots per acre. So the county has made a clear statement that the low-density area is an area for development, and that density is limited to 1.5 lots per acre, at least under, you know, new applications. Now, the coalition says the development simply does not belong in the low-density area, and as I said, that's their opinion. County Council said single-family homes at a density of 1.5 lots per acre do belong in that area. So this application is not to be judged by the coalition's opinion, but by the law as it exists. And to sum up my point, which I think I mentioned once before, this area is called the low-density area. It's not called the no-density area, the low-density area. And this is one unit per, or one house per acre, and that's low-density. And then finally, as I said, I submitted some proposed conditions and findings of facts for your consideration. Obviously, these findings of facts are in support of approval of this application. Last week, Mr. Chura and Mr. Warner did meet with a group of area residents regarding this application. They meant to explain to them what we were proposing and to answer any questions they had. And I think it was a very beneficial meeting. I wasn't present at the meeting. I couldn't be there. But I think it did answer a lot of questions. I certainly understand that perhaps everyone is not in total support of this application, and I suspect they'd rather not see it there. However, we did try to make an attempt to address some concerns. And Mr. Chura represented at that meeting certain things, and I just want to state for the record, and I did include these two things in the conditions that were submitted to you. It was represented that a landscape buffer would be planted along the road frontage along Stokely Road, which would be these areas here, and Cool Spring Road, which would be this area over here. And in addition to the normal conditions that you see on subdivisions or you impose on subdivisions, I did include condition number 14, which for the benefit of the people who are here states that a landscape buffer shall be planted along the subdivision road frontage along Stokely Road and Cool Spring Road. And also there's a proposed condition number 15, which states, and this was in response to the type of housing that would be located here, that, again, this is a condition number 15, that all homes constructed in the subdivision shall have a minimum heated living space of 1,250 square feet. So nothing can be smaller than that. Obviously, homes can be larger than that. And also on the restrictions that were submitted at the time of the application, there is an architectural review provision in there that will have some guidance from the developer and control over the types of homes that are built. And gentlemen, that will conclude our presentation, other than any questions you may have of us.
All right, sir, thank you. We'll see if there are any questions. Mr. Johnson.
First, a point of clarification. In the booklet, in the response to the plus comments, there was reference to a 25-foot setback from wetlands, but I'm hearing 50-foot minimum. Is that correct?
Yeah, 50-foot minimum. On the larger plans, if you look at it, it shows a 50-foot ring around the wetlands, and as I mentioned before, that ring comes nowhere near any lot lines.
Okay. Like I said, I'm just responding to the designer's response to the plus comments, right, where it was references 25 feet, but we're talking minimum 50. From what you've described and I've heard tonight in terms of recreational facilities, we're talking about perhaps a tot lot and a multi-use court, and that's it to service 226 homes.
The court and the tot lot would be in this area. There's areas of these pocket parks which would be developed as just gathering places, and then I mentioned there's this main area here which would either be a field or a swimming pool. I'm just, the discussions I've had with the developer is that they're just not sure if a swimming pool is something that's going to be wanted there. So they're not, they don't want to commit to that if it turns out to be something that isn't desired. But a field or additional, you know, tot lots, things of that nature would be placed there.
Have you developed or drawn up the restrictive covenants for the development?
When the application was filed, there were restrictive covenants submitted. They actually predated my involvement in it, and I believe a copy of those are in the exhibit book that was submitted to you.
And would you know if they would prohibit any of the residents from having backyard swimming pools or wading pools like you have today?
I didn't read those, but I don't believe they are prohibited as far as I know. In fact, to be honest with you, I think those restrictions aren't really all detailed yet. They were probably used from some similar type of development. But there'd be no reason not to do that. The idea here is that...
Because I've seen some of the restrictive covenants where, you know, they can't have hoops, they can't have, you know, they can have grass, and that's about it in their backyard. Okay. Any discussion by the designer or developer concerning walking trails or other recreational activities that can be included in a project of this size? I'm hearing you say there's 2/3% open space, but what is that open space other than trees?
Well, it's trees, most of it.
Or wetlands.
Well, there's a large section of open space over in here. I mean, it's considerably open. And then, again, there's a lot of areas that can be utilized for walking, whether or not there's a designated trail shown here or not. You can see the openings that, you know, will give access around these areas. But to answer your question, there's sidewalks on one side of the street, but certainly trails can be placed, you know, wherever in the development.
Because typically that's something that we might see in a development of this size with this much open space. They would propose the walking trails or bicycle paths.
Or bicycle trail, just a place for kids or people to be able to go out and just have some...
Make use of land other than just sitting idle.
And that's something that could be put on the site plan.
Back to the tot lot and multi-use court, whatever. That might address some of the residents on the... one side of the road, but what about for the 55 homes that are on the other side of the road? Is it anticipated that whatever kids are there are just going to have to take their chances on crossing Stokely Road to get to whatever?
It doesn't sound like it'd be a good idea.
No.
I think that would at least require a tot lot and a play area on the south side of the road also.
I have no further questions at this time.
All right, sir. Thank you. Mr. Burton.
Yes, you mentioned the spray irrigation area in that woods area. How what's that going to look like when it gets done?
Let me... identify yourself and give a little background on who you are.
I'm Steve Smaller with Duffield Associates, a Delaware registered professional geologist. I'm involved in the wastewater disposal aspect from a site characterization standpoint. There are typically three portions of that process. There's the soils evaluation, the hydrogeologic evaluation, and the engineering. I can talk to you about what's typically done in this situation. I'm not the engineer designing the wastewater system, but I can about what's typically done. To maintain the forested coverage in that area, the spray irrigation disposal facilities are typically fixed sets. They're basically pivots that are set in the woods, in and amongst the trees. That way you can do it around the trees themselves and pipe it around. It's a little bit more difficult to install, but that way the trees themselves are left intact with some access routes going in and through that. And then they basically spray, as if at a very low rate in the wooded area itself.
So you wouldn't be able to walk through it. You know, it's not going to
hurt. Not when the spraying is on. No. I mean, it's also you have to realize it doesn't continuously spray. There's a large storage component that gets held, and then it sprays periodically to dispose of the...
Steve, do you know how large the area of the spray area would be?
I think the total area there is approximately 40 acres or so. And then there's going to be, looks like they're going to be probably seasonally, it's going to be a smaller area during the higher water table, the wetter time of the year, when you get up on the highest piece of the land, and then you go out to the larger area in the summertime, and you can... the evapotranspiration gets rid of more of the water. So that whole area will be used, but not all of it at any one time. And then seasonally, the total area being used at that on a given week will be variable. Most
likely. Will there be any building structures or anything like that back there?
I'm not sure. There will be a treatment plant. I'm not sure exactly where that's being proposed. I don't know if the gentleman from Tidewater is here to discuss where that is, but there will be a wastewater treatment plant, and then there's the conveyance piping, which is basically subsurface getting back into that facility. The woods will primarily look like woods with occasional pop-ups with a sprinkler head on it, is what the woods should look like at the end.
No more questions on that. The endangered species thing, you're going to do that at the final site plan? The designer developer will initiate appropriate visits with
department personnel during the final stage of the project? Is that?
Yeah, there was a phase one environmental site assessment, which is done by Jim McCauley, who's appeared before you, which I have a copy of. His inspection of it and his investigation of it was there was no endangered species or threatened species located on site. DENREC, to the extent that they want to inspect the site, they can inspect the site. But it's not normally done,
done after the fact.
Yeah, if they want to come down and look at it, but again, if you don't have a site where there's been some indication of an endangered species habitat, normally they don't inspect it. But to the extent they'd like an offer to come down and look at it, that's fine.
Okay. No further questions.
All right, sir. Thank you, Mr. Corey.
What was the distance, the buffer distance between the existing lot lines now, that people live there now? You said something about a buffer around the area.
Oh, what the from internally out.
Yes.
I think the tightest one that we have on this current plan is, I think these are residences here. We're showing 40 foot to the lot line here. All the other areas, I believe, they vary across the board, but I think all the other areas are in above 60 feet. There's some that are 67 to 75 along this frontage here. This is our tightest one, and I believe that is 40 to the property line.
Okay. Right.
And in general, you can see that there's a pretty considerable area along here where these homes are, and here where this home is, and here. And again, this area here will remain open space.
So are you anticipating phasing? Which area would you start first, and how would you?
I don't know if that's been decided yet. At least from a design standpoint, it hasn't. We haven't put together the ENS plans yet for the phasing.
That's all the question I have.
Mr. Schmidt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Couple questions about the layout. That's a stormwater management area at the extreme, I guess, south on the section. Yes. Do you see that having any negative impacts, or will that be helpful to the tax parcels outside of your project?
That particular site is not stormwater. Unfortunately, on this graphic, we kind of show things the same, but. This is existing. There's a small branch that's on this side with a little bit of wetlands and forest. The stormwater that we have in here will be in this open space here, and potentially I was indicating some other BMPs that could be in this open space here. We will be discharging. That's one of our primary investigation points for discharge, would be to that branch there.
Mm-hmm.
But that is not serving as stormwater management quality or quantity.
Okay. Thank you. And another question about the site plan and the dealing with one of the things you called the quirky lots. Do you see a negative impact on lots 145 to 150 down off in the vicinity of the entrance and Black Birch Drive, and lots 86 to 89 up there on Point Circle? See any impacts of vehicles coming down White Pine Drive and Magnolia Way, like at night, coming and shining their lights into those homes? They're located inside those circles.
Can we start again? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'll roll.
What numbers were
lots 145 and 150, which is located there at the entrance on Black Birch Drive, right off White Pine Drive, and your lots 86 through 89 up on Point Circle. We've got a small common area. Would those be lots that you practically thought that you could perhaps use, that they'd be more aesthetically pleasing, with the one being right at the entrance to the development and the lots 86 to 89 being able to increase a common area? Because back there on Point Circle, they're a considerable distance away from the amenities. I've been in developments similar, which me being in a development isn't a part of this application, but where I've noticed that my automobile headlights at night, you know, shined in, and that's, I see these located right sort of in the crosshairs of Magnolia Way and White Pine Drive. So.
Yeah, the large circle up here on the west, this common area, this particular larger of the pie pieces in there, mm-hmm. is intended to be not a lot for a home.
Understood.
That's intended to be common space there. So the headlights coming into this particular area would probably catch the sides and rears of these proposed homes. What we tried to do there, instead of putting two more lots in there, was to keep that open so these people could walk out of their backyards and access the sidewalks and then work around the neighborhood. So that was the kind of the design intent that we had there by still getting a few lots in that large circular area. Mm-hmm. In this section here, we left another little pie spot open there for the same exact reasoning. To be honest with you, I haven't really studied, probably should have studied more in terms of headlight interference, but at this particular location, we can look at that. But had not put a lot of thought into these couple lots right here with headlight interference yet.
It probably can be at least partially dealt with through landscaping also.
No other questions, Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Lang?
No question.
Mr. Counts?
Just one question about stormwater management. I think in your discussion about the design, you mentioned that discharge in the south would go into the wetlands in the stream, and to the north would go into the wetlands in the north. How do you, without going into a lot of detail, but can you give some idea of how you're going to control the quality of the water that's going in there so that the wetlands aren't degraded with chemicals and nitrates and stuff from motor oil runoff from the roads and things like that?
I mean, there's a couple different options, and I think this site actually lends itself into some of the practices that Conservation District and DENREC are pushing toward us in terms of a lot of the green infrastructure type technologies. The simplest, most straightforward is having a wet detention pond where there's a, you know, 24-hour detention for water flowing through there, and that's how we get our water quality. But I think there's several spots throughout this site. Several spots where runoff from these sites can get treated in swales prior to even getting to these ponds, particularly the backsides of these lots. What we've been working with the Conservation District on is when we analyze this in pre-development, there'll be a lot of flow going there now. We'll be able to put some supplemental plantings and different things on the backsides of these lots that will actually have better water quality treatment than is there now. But we will have some wet ponds, and we will have swales and things of that nature around the backsides to employ some of these BMPs.
And a BMP is what?
Best management practice.
Thank you.
Mr. Rabbit?
No questions.
Mr. Robertson?
No questions.
All right, sir. Gentlemen. We thank you.
Thank you.
We'll take a seat nearby. We'll see if anyone here has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2005-78 Delmarva Woodlands Alliance, LLC? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2005-78? Okay, we'll start with you, sir. You can finally come forward, give us your name and address, and fine.
Yes, my name is Luther Layton. I live at 29088 Stockley Road. I have a farm at that location. To give you a brief overview of the area of Stockley Road, I sold my house in Lewis and moved to Stockley Road because of the uniqueness of the area. My two children have also purchased a home on Stockley Road because of its charm. Stockley Road consists of 26 farms or farmettes and 26 other homes with at least 1 acre. The road is a secondary road, with most of it being tar and chip. It runs 2.2 miles and dead ends on Forest Road and Beaver Dam Road. Two other developments exit on the Stockley Road, Woodgate and the Reserve. This area is abundant with wildlife such as deer, turkey, beaver, as the name Beaver Dam Road, bobwhite quail. Many of my neighbors hunt the area. There is also wetland waterfowl in the area, and it is not uncommon on any given day to see farm equipment, horseback riders, horse and carriages, and children riding their bike. Also, a number of the properties along that location have bridle paths, and the farmers allow you to ride your horses along that street, safe to ride along the street and on their properties. In closing, I'd just like to mention that if the plans for this development are approved, it will forever change the atmosphere of this location and this road. It is a productive farming community. Most of the houses have at least 1 acre, and the others are all farm or farmettes. A development this size would have a significant impact on that location. Also, as I said before, the road is only 2.2 miles and it dead ends on either end. It's not like a major road where traffic would be spilling out onto it. So that is what is unique about this one little section of Sussex County. It is a jewel in a ever-growing, as you know, development area. And I hope we can keep it somewhat the same as it has been for a number of years. Farms on that area have been farmed for 100 years, and families that live there, some of them go back generations. So it'd be a shame to see that atmosphere destroyed. I appreciate your time, and I hope you'll take it into consideration.
All right, sir, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, anyone else? Hey, on the left back here, all the way in the back. And then the lady all the way in the back will be next.
Evening, gentlemen. My name is Mark Lashier. Hope you're having a wonderful evening tonight. I live on Cool Spring Road at the very end of it, out near Route 9. I don't know how many other people here live in the Cool Spring area. I'm not a member of the coalition, but I've lived at Cool Spring for about 5 years. And what's interesting about living at Cool Spring is if you don't live there, you really get to see how the road kind of moves. A lot of people don't know this if they don't live there, but Cool Spring Road, it's my area, during the afternoons is often used as a cutoff route by 18-wheelers. 18-wheelers will travel from 24 and use Cool Spring as a cutoff route to come over to intersect over with 9. So you've got a road on any given day that may be, I don't know, what's the width of that road? Maybe 11 feet wide. And you've got 18-wheelers on that road pretty much on a daily basis. Now I add to that also, as this gentleman also pointed out, the fact that you've got a lot of farming community there. And during the season, it's not unusual. You might find a combine, a very large tractor, hogging that road up as well. And it makes it very difficult to pass on that road. Now, you put 226, I don't know how many units there were back there, but add that maybe to each family might have 2 vehicles per household. You've got an extra 450-some-odd cars that might be traveling in and around that road on a daily basis. Take that into consideration with 18-wheelers, the farm vehicles, all the people who ride bikes and recreate during that area as well. It gets a little tricky, I think, on a very small road as such. I don't know if they're planning on expanding that road or whatnot, but it's a tough travel area. When I moved to the area, I have 2 very small children. I noticed that there wasn't a speed limit sign posted on my road from where Fisher intersects down to 9. And I got that passed. Actually, we had a 40-mile-per-hour speed limit zone passed there. But spend any night there, and you'll see cars zipping down that road in excess of 55 miles an hour. It's because it's a not well-traveled road. And when it is, well, it sped all through the area. My neighbor, he's here tonight, he can tell you about the water problems that we have in that area. But, you know, just as a concerned resident on Cool Spring Road, I don't know how many of you know about the traffic issues on that road, but I thought I would bring it to your attention in light of a very large development, not close to me, but close enough on my home road of Cool Spring.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Lady on the way in the back in the gray suit.
Good. gentlemen. Good evening. My name is Carol Sanchez. My husband and I have lived at 20586 Cool Spring Road for a year and a half. We were attracted to Southern Delaware's rural beauty several years ago, and we found a home with a lovely setting and picturesque neighborhood. Our great concern now is the altercation of the surrounding community. Most of the existing homes are situated on acre or more lots and blend into the country setting. The number of single-family homes scheduled to be built in this cluster development will have a negative impact on our surrounding rural agricultural community. As per Ordinance 1152, item number 12, this development will change the complexion of the existing neighborhood and have a negative effect on property values. By changing the environment, it will have an adverse effect on the surrounding area. Thank you so much for hearing me tonight.
Ma'am, thank you. All the way in the back in the green shirt, sir, and then after you, the gentleman over here.
My name is Chuck Burton from 20554 Cool Spring Road. I'm a couple doors down from the lady that just came up. We live on 3 acres there. We have a ditch that runs next to our property between us and the street farm, which right now it's full at its capacity, and behind our house in the wetlands is all flooded right at this time. I've got some literature here I wanted to give you guys. What this is the hydrologic map for the recharging potential. We've got six of them in here.
We'll double up if we need to.
And circled in there is our area.
Sure, thanks.
And also, in that packet also is some pictures of the runoff, the water that ran off just right before Thanksgiving, that rain, that nor'easter we had that really didn't produce that much rain, really. I mean, that was probably a 2-inch rain. And it's pretty much flooded Cool Spring Road. And there's kind of, it's not really a pond next to our house, but it when it rains, it really fills up and backs up.
How was that, Dave?
It backs up in Mr. Street's field, and also that really concerns me as far as the water runoff for this project. And as I say, my concerns are the wetlands also being polluted by the proposed sewer system, and also the wells in the neighboring areas. Another concern is the wetland buffers, which it's been clarified. It was supposed to be 50 foot, and then I heard it was changed to 130, so I guess it will be 50. Like I say, I hope our property does not become flooded any more than it is now from the water running off their property that's running off their property onto ours right now. And it seems that all the reports that I've read for this development are all negative from all the different committees that had read in there, wrote in the stuff that it's just not good. Only a couple more things. Once the ground is all saturated where this wastewater treatment area is and it's spraying in trees and we get storms, they always fall over. When the ground's always saturated, they're talking about putting, I guess, low-pressure piping through the woods and the wetlands, and then when we get a nor'easter, I guess all those trees are just going to fall down, and that's what, either that or they're going to rot. So that's what I just don't understand. And I would also, final thing is I'd like to see the governing committees go ahead and go out there to the project and see it firsthand and walk that land, and you'll see how much water there is on that land right now. And thank you very much for your time.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir, over here.
Good My name is John Garfler, and I lived in the Cool Spring area for 23 years. My address is 18588 Cool Spring Road. At one time, I lived near Rehoboth. 23 years ago, I left Rehoboth because I knew that we were going to get crowded out. And here we are, the same things happening in Cool Springs. You know, we're tearing down the trees, we're giving up the farmland. Right now, on Route 5 and Route 9 in Harbison, there is a huge development going in. East of the Dairy Farm Road, another huge development going in. Here's another one. I remember the days that once you went by Stokely Road to Route 5, that was nothing but a dirt road, and many a time I got stuck because it was completely flooded out. That is constantly underwater. And here these people want to build something adjacent to that and down a little bit east? No. I've had problems in the last 7 years. I went through the council. I went through our representative, and nothing is ever done. Everything is thrown into Del Dot. Del Dot this, Del Dot that. I've been up here and many, many times about the water on my property because of rainwater and the development up across from us. Nothing has been done. I mean, it's a losing battle. Thoroughly disgusted. Not only that, I recently found out that on Cool Spring Road, the center of it, by the fire department, on the east side of it, it's serviced by Lewis. On the west side of it, it's by Milton. And both of those fire companies are a pretty good distance, and it will be further distance from this whole development. They talk about fire departments and so forth. Now, I just can't see another big development going into our area. It's a shame it's what's happening to Lower Sussex County here. It is really a shame. You know, it just bugs me to death. They're taking a lot of my life away from me because everybody wants to, I'll bet you any amount of money, all you gentlemen, once these guys get this in here, they won't live here. They'll be somewhere else. They're here for the big bucks. That's all I've got to say.
All right, sir. Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak with something different that hasn't been stated yet? Ms. Derrickson?
My name is Tiffany Derrickson. I live at 54 Rolling Road in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. I've been a lifelong resident of Sussex County, and I am strongly opposed to Delmarva Woodlands Alliance application to subdivide 215 acres of woodland and farmland into 225 lots. I feel it is imperative that the Department of Planning and Zoning deny Woodlands Alliance request due to the negative impacts the development will have on the area and the fact that it is not in character with the current homes that are in the area, which, as people here have already said, are farms or one-acre lots. Delmarva Woodland Alliance is a wolf dressed in sheep's clothing. These developers have already proven that they lack the ability to embrace the concept of responsible development. They have already developed hundreds of acres of farmland in level 4 areas of Sussex County and build inferior houses and developments with no passive or open space. They have not contributed to our local school district or local services. They burden our infrastructure and put more stress on our local fire departments and police departments. As we went over the plan this evening, the site in question contains 141 acres of woodlands, and I believe he said 7 acres of wetlands, but how much of the woods will be left for passive open space? Of the 67% of open space that was mentioned, how much is passive open space there for nature? How much of that is active open spaces, trails, and their tot lot? Once we subtract the active open space, then we will get, and the passive open space, and the wetlands, then we will know the real number of homes per acre, because it truly isn't one almost an acre per lot. The PLUS study stated that there are over half of the soils on the subject parcels are wetland and limited to development, especially in this northeast portion, which is, contains woods, which contains some special species, local species here in Delaware. When do the right of all citizens in Sussex County outweigh those of a developer? I encourage planning and zoning to speak with someone who currently resides in one of the developer's communities and ask them how much their association fees have gone up in the past year and are predicted to go up in the future due to inferior building quality. I encourage planning and zoning to investigate the resale value of the developer's current community and why many banks will not grant loans for resale. The developer has proven their lack of ability to build responsible developments, and I urge planning and zoning to deny Delmarva Woodland Alliance permission to develop 215 acres of woods and farmland into 226 homes. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak with something different? We've heard about traffic. We've heard about the developer. We've heard about the impact from water. Something different, sir? Okay, come on up.
There's no one on this side, too.
Oh, I'm sorry. Was there somebody else over here, too?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll get to you in a minute. All right, sir, go ahead.
My name's Mike. Excuse me, Mike Tapp, and I live at 20665 Cool Spring Road. Okay. I just need to point something out to everybody. I just felt it was kind of important.
Okay.
If I could use their drawing.
Yes, sir.
This right area here. Right here, they proposed to put the wastewater treatment. Years ago, when Gladfelder retimbered that, they cut off the original timber, then they reforested it. Mm-hmm. They never managed that timber, so it's become a choked up loblolly pine forest, as it will. Unfortunately, to get that ready, in our opinion, to spray irrigate, you're going to need heavy equipment, which is going to result in severe soil compaction in the site. Additionally, the site, from where the wetlands is and all up through here, it's wet. It's wet right now, and it stays wet unless we have an extreme drought. So what we're concerned about is the wastewater system is going to throw all the water out there, and that soil is not going to be able to handle it between the severe compaction that will result and from the fact that the soil just doesn't seem to drain well anyway. And unfortunately, what we're worried about is that by the time we realize this, it's going to be too late, and the soil is not going to handle the wastewater. It's going to run somewhere, most likely down into the wetlands, and obviously it's going to run to the bay from there. Thank you.
All right, sir. Thank you. Somebody else over this way, Mr. Glowiak?
Good evening, members of the commission. My name is Henry Glowiak. I live about a mile and a half from this proposed project. a few comments I'd like to make. One of the things that some of the developers try to impress upon us is the fact that developments that they are proposing are within character of the area. I see some things up on this map that kind of disturb me. Some of these are unapproved developments, and they're taking it for granted that they're already approved. Therefore, they're going to be, this project in particular is going to be in character with the area. That's just contradictory. Another thing I kind of notice is all these grandiose plans that the developers always present about stormwater, runoff, and such. I will show you an example of an area that you gentlemen approved not too long ago called Heron Bay. You'll be seeing something about it in the papers tomorrow. Just on Tuesday when I was when I left here to investigate the plans of this proposed development, I crossed a branch called Walls Branch, which runs off of Heron Bay. I've lived in that particular area for over 23 years. I've never seen Walls Branch as it was. I immediately contacted Soil and Water Conservation, and Nathan Zimmerman came out to inspect. Reporters from the Coast Press and the Cape Gazette came out and checked it out. Nathan Zimmerman from Soil and Water informed me that Heron Bay is out of compliance, out of compliance.
Sir, just let's keep it to this application.
Okay, well, this is just an example.
Yeah,
I'm trying to cite.
But that's, I think, well, it's completely different development, so let's keep it relevant to this particular one, Cool Spring Meadows.
Well, okay, I'm just trying to make an example of how things are enforced and how the developer paints a pretty picture of what they're going to do and what ultimately happens. Now, we keep hearing all these things, all these developers planning all these developments in level four areas. The state strategy in spending level four areas where the state is not going to spend any more money for infrastructure or roads. And it's just a domino effect happening out in the countryside. Development after development after development is being approved with no regard to state strategies and spending. It seems to me that Sussex County is a renegade county that just ignores everything the state says. And this county is always wanting to be bailed out for road improvements and infrastructure improvements. And then we also hear from developers saying, oh, well, we're going to do road improvements. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. But in the long run, they may make short-term improvements, one-time improvements, but are the developers going to make road improvements in perpetuity? Are they going to be there all the time for years to come? No. It's ultimately going to fall on the taxpayers of the state. I'm tired of bailing out developers. We've seen it time and time again. One thing also that developers always cite, and that is that this is a low-density area. Well, this county is so different from every county that surrounds us in this entire region. We call low-density 2 to the acre. 1 per acre is... I mean, take a look at all the surrounding counties around here, all the Worcester County, Maryland, all
Mr.
the counties.
Novak, I appreciate what you're saying, sir. We really can't deal with what the other counties are doing. We have to deal with the ordinance we have. I don't mean to demean your comments or anything, but I really need you to wrap that up into what's going on with this application right here for me, if you would.
Okay, sir.
Thank you.
I will. After going through the state planning coordination reports, every state agency has negative comments about this. I just hope that we start coordinating our plans with the state, or this document here is meaningless. Might as well throw it out. Thank you.
All right, sir, thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak in opposition with something different? I'll take one more. The lady in the white here on the end. You.
Well, I'm going to take one more.
But take one more. I think we've heard it all. Unless you guarantee me you're going to say something different.
My name is Sharon Anderson, and my family and I live at 28736 Stokely Road for nearly 7 years. Our home is directly adjacent to the proposed development. I'm sorry.
That's all right. Just the, land, time.
The land in question has been farmed for generations until approximately a year ago, and I feel that I need to clarify something that I found confusing in the exhibit book. When I looked at it on the 28th, there was a comment that the land was once farmed several years ago. In fact, Mr. Helms farmed the land for 3 years. Prior to that, Mr. Prettyman farmed it for 35. His father farmed it before that, started World War II, and his family farmed it before that as well. This past summer was the first year that crops were not planted. My family, as I said, lives adjacent to and across from the proposed development area with a 58-foot buffer. We're very involved in 4-H projects. My children, my 3 children, raise market hogs every spring. We have ducks, we have chickens, several roosters. It's that type of community. This project is proposed for an investment level 4 area as defined by the strategies for state policies and spending, and is also located outside the designated growth area defined by the county certified comprehensive plan. In fact, this area is as far away from any town or city as it can be within Eastern Sussex County, and one of the maps that was handed out kind of shows that. To add to this, this proposed development site is designated as high-value cropland, forest land, and natural resource lands on the Green Infrastructure Investment Strategy. In the description of investment level 4, areas located within this level are predominantly agricultural but may have scattered single-family detached residential homes located within, and currently this is the character of our community, a character which this development would ultimately change. Residential development is not desirable within investment level 4. The intent of designing an area as an investment level 4 is preserve open space, agricultural lands, natural habitats, and forest lands while avoiding the creation of isolated developments that cannot be served effectively or efficiently by any public services. Truthfully, this proposal conflicts with the preferred land uses, making it more difficult for agriculture and forestry to succeed and increases the cost to the public. With continued development within investment level 4 areas, the state will also have a difficulty, if not impossible, time attaining water and air quality. The Sussex County Comprehensive Plan indicates that this parcel of land is in a low-density area as well, which we've discussed. The purpose of the low-density area is to provide for a full range of agricultural activities and to protect agricultural lands as one of the county's most valuable natural resources. This project impacts all three layers of the livable Delaware green infrastructure as established under Governor Minner's Executive Order No. 61. As proposed, this project would remove and fragment forest that is part of a large contiguous forest tract and may reduce the habitat value of the entire forest stretch along with decreasing air and water quality benefits. Within this proposal, an estimated 45 acres of trees will be destroyed. I also wanted to mention, we also, along with the copies that you received, needed to discuss the cumulative impact, which has been addressed to some point. Through our investigation, we discovered that, and I know that it's not, we haven't gotten them all. There are developments that we weren't even aware of, but we counted 11 within a 5-mile radius that were close to 5,000 new homes, I believe. There is a cumulative impact. That blows my mind how many houses in that small area. It seems clear that no development of this scope and size is appropriate for land in this area. None of us are against development. We would be hypocritical if we were. We live there too. As said before, many of the homes on Stokely Road where I live are farmettes, 26 of them, 5 acres and more, and the others are an acre. And that's what we expect of new development as well. It is my sincere hope that careful consideration will be given regarding the future use of this land. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, ma'am. All right. Yes, ma'am.
May I come forward?
You may come forward. You can have 2 minutes.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Good evening. My name is Betty Street, and my family and I have lived at 28623 Stokely Road for 62 years. I'm here tonight to present a formal petition of opposition to the proposed Cool Spring Meadows development. This petition contains 60 names of local residents and landowners, some of which you have already heard and some of which are still present. And I wish to say thank you for your time. I wish to also present this or submit this to Mr. Lank, if I may.
You may.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. You have a minute and a half left over. Minute and a half left, you. Come on. People have been so kind and polite, I kind of hate to not let anybody talk that really wants to, so you've got a minute and a half.
Thanks. My name is Lynn Shugard. I also live on Cool Spring Road. I moved to the area due to its rural characteristics. I have a horse. It affords me an area to ride. We, as mentioned, believe that development should be considered as a cumulative effect that it has on the area and its infrastructure. And, well, let's see, most of this has been said, but I did want to also add that this development will have a negative impact on items 13, 14, 15, and 16 of County Ordinance 1152. It will not be giving anything to Sussex County, i.e. jobs. It will only be taking away from our resources. We ask that you consider the effect of the cumulative impact of this development along with the other issues presented tonight. Thank you for listening.
Can I get your name again, please?
Lynn Shugart.
Thank you.
All right, ma'am, thank you. We'll take a show of hands, call upon our esteemed counsel to do the counting. Give him plenty of time. Bear in mind, he's a lawyer, not a mathematician. Is anyone in favor, other than the applicant and his entourage, of course? Okay. And opposed? Those opposed, one hand only, please. Just one. Keep them up there until...
The letter's in the record, so...
26. Okay. Does anyone on the commission have any questions? Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank all of you for being here this evening. You have been incredibly well-behaved and polite, and I really appreciate it. Now I would ask you to not blow your perfect record when you get up here to leave, because when I say I'll close the public hearing, people sometimes think it's like we're letting church out, okay? We've got another public hearing. In the next breath, we're going to start another public hearing. So what I would really like for you to do, if you could, is when I say the public, we've closed the public hearing, if you would kindly move quickly and quietly out to the lobby or the steps, and if you want to converse out there, that would be great. Thank you all for coming. You've been a very fine group. We'll close the public hearing. You may remain with us if you wish to hear our decision, or you may just call the office in the morning. Our next public hearing is subdivision.